Hey, great to see you this morning. Great to be with you. It's always lovely to come to church. I don't know about you, but I love it. It's just as well because it's my job. So yeah, I'm kind of lucky, but I am blessed. Hey, look, what we're focusing on today is the power of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned before. The stories that line up in Luke's gospel, these are stories about Jesus' power. So we have this power of the calming of the storm, which is one of my favorites. I love it. And then after that, straight after that, there's the deliverance of the demoniac. Remember the man with the pigs? Yeah? Well, he ended up with the pigs running into the lake. So these are stories that are demonstrating Jesus' power. But the key, I'm going to go straight to the nub of what this is about. The key verse for this is when the disciples in that storm, after he's calmed the storm, there it says in verse 25 in Luke, they are in fear and amazement. And they asked one another, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Even the winds and the sea obey him. That's the nub of this bit of scripture in these stories. Who is this guy? Now, Ray spoke last week about the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? The church was grappling with this in the early days of the church. When the church, who knew it was going to become what it became? So they were grappling with the identity of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the councils got together, the Nicaea Council got together, all the bishops, happened to be men in those days, and they debated what our beliefs were together. Now, the same thing was happening about Jesus. People were saying, oh, this Jesus, was he God? No, he was God, except when he was on the cross. He became fully human, because God can't die. All right, so you get the idea of what people were thinking about and wondering about. So this bit of scripture here speaks very, very clearly about the divinity of this man, which was the conclusion that the church came to. He was totally human and totally divine, part of the Trinity, as we were speaking about last week. But what I want to focus on today is that identity of him, of course, but what did that mean? What did that mean? What did he do? What he did? What did he do, and what did that mean? Look, today, in our secular, post-secular culture, it's very, very easy for us to dismiss the powers and wonders and miracles of Jesus Christ. Because, of course, we're much more sophisticated than that today, aren't we? Aren't we? Yes, we are. We are. And we don't believe in those things. I mean, that's, you know, what, you know, primitive cultures believe in. It's so patronizing. But we are. We are patronizing as a culture, as a modern culture. We went through a stage of explaining away all the miracles, even the parting of the Red Sea, etc., in terms of science. So theologians tried to do that because it made things a lot easier for them. I'm going to speak to you today about my eyewitness, well, some stories of examples of Jesus' power today. Not from the Bible, but today. Now, this is a true story. There's a vicar called Michael, and he was a curate in London. And he was preaching one day, as he do, in an Anglican church. He's a good Anglican vicar, very trustworthy. And he was preaching, and he does what he usually do. The vicars go to the back of the church or the front of the church, and they shake everyone's hand. They say, oh, lovely sermon, vicar, lovely sermon, sermon. And out they go. And nothing much changes. Anyway, this one little old lady was going out, and she took Mike's hand, and she said, there, Mike. She said, I've been praying for you to bear fruit in your ministry, and I will keep praying for you to bear fruit in your ministry. And she left him, and he just felt so crestfallen. Anyway, 2 weeks later, he was living in a terrace house. Those of you who've lived in England, like Coronation Street, they do exist. And you go over there, it's interesting because the Brits go, oh, you think we all live in Coronation Street? Well, a lot of them do. Sorry, there's Brits here. We love you. My wife is British. Mike was living in one of these terrace houses. It was in London. It was quite posh. And as you know, he was a keen gardener, but as you know, the gardens are very close to one another in those terraced houses, just right over the fence, a brick fence. And anyway, he was gardening on his day off, and he was digging away, and he came across an ant's nest. And he thought, I know what to do with this. And he went to the garage, and he picked up a can of petrol. You know where this is going. And he came back, and he poured the petrol into the ant's nest, where all the ants were coming, you know, and they came all faster out. And he thought, oh, I need to light this. He wasn't the smartest of curates. And he went inside, and he was looking for the matches, couldn't find them. And he searched high and low, and then he finally found them in the bottom drawer. His wife had hidden them away in the bottom drawer. I'm kidding. It was a boy's look he had. It was a boy's look. He found them under the tea towel in the bottom drawer. And he came back, and it was probably about 10 minutes later, and he stood above the ant's nest, crouched down, pulled out a match, struck it. The whole garden went kaboom. Don't do this, folks, at home, please. The whole garden ignited, and he stood back and he went, oh, my goodness. This is not good. And he started stamping. He started stamping the fire to go out. And then his trousers caught fire. It sounds like Monty Python, doesn't it? His trousers caught fire. And then he tried to, you know, and it got worse. It was spreading. And then he just stood there and he said, I'm in trouble. He didn't say it. He thought it. I'm in trouble. And he said, Jesus, help! And as soon as he did that, the fire went and went out. Yes way. It went out. And Mike just stood there thinking, well, that's pretty cool. And he did what any respectable vicar would do, or curate. He went inside, English curate, and had a cup of tea. And he was sitting there sipping his tea and in the kitchen, and his wife, Sue, comes home. She goes, Mike, what's that smell? And he says, it's okay. He has to have a cup of tea. And he regaled the story, and she said, Mike, I think you better take those trousers off. And he took the trousers off, and with the trousers coming off, his skin from his legs came off with the trousers. So look, the point of the story is two things. Don't put petrol down an ant's nest and then try and light it. But also, look, when we're in those times of trouble, when we're facing mortal danger, don't be afraid, a lot of us aren't afraid, to call on the name of Jesus Christ. All right, don't be afraid of that. I've told the story before. I was going to church in Plymouth, and I went down the corner shop to get some milk for Ruth's tea, and the guy, I had my collar on, and you know, you're not asking for a conversation. The guy says, you know, I believe in God. I go, oh yeah, that's interesting. And he says, and I tell you what, when the bombs were coming, because in Plymouth, they always talk about the war. Yeah? Because they were bombed very heavily. He said, when those bombs were coming down, I tell you what, a heck of a lot of other people believed in God all of a sudden as well. It's so true. When we come face to face with our own mortality, something changes within us. Now, that well-known theologian, David Bowie, you heard of him? He said, knowledge comes through death's release. Totally true. Totally true. Now, I went through the stage of loving watching YouTube tsunamis. It's kind of weird, but I like surfing and stuff, and I just love the size of those waves coming in. I love watching the power of that. I remember watching this one tsunami, and it was in the islands, and I think it was, and there was a couple of American tourists watching it, and I remember them watching this wave, a tsunami wave coming, and just being absolutely horrified and saying, in the name of Jesus, stop. And of course, it didn't stop. But what I want to talk about today is, you know, we don't know the ways of God all the time. None of us do, not even vicars. But there's something amazing about coming face to face with our own mortality and realizing we are weak. Yeah, that we are weak. And it says in Scripture, we are formed from the dust and we return to the dust. If we take hold of that, that inevitably brings this amazing humility. We do services in Sprott, the care home, with Wendy. We just commissioned Wendy to, with her punamu across, to go in there. She helps get a team together. A team from here, from our church, goes in there every week. I love going in there for selfish reasons. It reminds me of how weak I am and where I will end up sometime in the future, not necessarily Sprott. But Marie's laughing. You're going to put me in there. But look, you come in there and there's about 20, 25 people. All the Zimmer frames are all in the corner. Their eyesight's going. Their hearing's going. Their knees are going. Their bodies are decaying. They're getting ready to meet their maker. And I was able to speak about the Beatitudes this week. Blessed are the poor and the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And it goes on. Now, that word beatitude means incredibly blessed. Those people, knowing that their bodies are failing them and their faculties, are poor. They are poor. And they're humbled. We are all humbled, aren't we, by our failing bodies. I am. Most of us are. That word humility comes, the root of it is the word humus, which means earth. From the earth we are taken, and to the earth we return. Now, I was in a kitchen in Melbourne. I'd come to faith, so I wasn't brought up in faith at all. So I came to faith and went to Melbourne, and I was working in the kitchen at Melbourne University. And I was grappling, like the early church, who is this Jesus, what does it mean, with all that sort of stuff. And I was taking the rubbish downstairs to the basement, to the furnace, to be burnt in the furnace. And I was thinking, this is what I was thinking in my head. I was thinking, you don't have to think about God all the time. Yeah, those are my thoughts. You don't have to think about God all the time. Maybe just sometimes. Anyway, I got down to the furnace. The furnace was at head height. And I had the rubbish. I opened it up, shoved the rubbish in there. You don't have to think about God all the time. Bent down to pick up the next bit of rubbish, and there was this almighty explosion above my head. And I looked, and a fireball had gone just where I was a few seconds ago, and there was a flaming air canister lying in the middle of the floor. It was, don't ever put air canisters in the rubbish. That's another, if nothing else, you learn not to use petrol in air canisters, in fires. But anyway, my lesson was, maybe I do need to think about God more often. I tell you what, I would have gone down that route if I'd gone my own way. I wouldn't be wearing this today. In my own strength, God was saying, come on, dig in there, Ian. There's more to life. The power of Jesus Christ. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Look, they were amazed at that miracle, the calming of the storm. Mike Breen was amazed at his salvation when the fire took off. I was amazed at my, because I would probably be dead, at least my head would be pretty disfigured. I'm amazed at God's power to actually preserve me and look after me in that situation. Now I know, you know, we wonder sometimes because stuff happens to all of us at times. We don't know how that works sometimes. But Jesus does work in this world in miraculous and powerful ways. But the best was yet to come. The best for the disciples was yet to come. And 1 Corinthians 15:56, Paul, working all this out, says, where, O death, is your victory? You remember that verse? Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? But thanks to God, he has given us the victory over sin and death through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do for us? He went to the cross, suffered that death for our sin to bring us to everlasting life in his own resurrection. He has conquered death, folks. I know there are people in this church who still don't believe that. He has conquered death. So when you face death, and we all do, know that he has the victory. Yeah? That is the good news of the gospel. Isn't that incredible? It's done for us, once and for all. Ruth and I were reading this morning. I'm just coming to land, coming to finish. And this is our reading. It's from the Daily Light, which is a collection of pieces of scripture. Can I invite the band to come up, please? Because we're going to respond to this. This was the reading this morning. Unless one is born again. Now, that's a cliche, being born again. But look, it wasn't a cliche always. Unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They shall by no means enter into anything that defiles. There is no spot in you. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, that whole thing of being born again, Nicodemus, Jesus was explaining to him what it meant to be born again. Because when you face death and your own mortality and our own weakness, it is like we see the world anew. Like Bowie said, knowledge comes through death's release. We spend so much time doing other things, these trinkets and games and entertainments and minor arguments and disagreements. And do you know what? We get distracted from the true fact is that we are poor in spirit. And we are incredibly blessed if we realize that. That is the kingdom being turned the right way up. Jesus came to turn it the right way up for us. And I'll finish off here. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges each according to one's work, he is the judge. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, you don't hear that being preached in church very often. Holiness and fear. If you come into the presence of the living God, it's lots of scripture that said it's a terrifying thing. Because we are so weak and poor, but we think we're so amazing. Let's stand. And let's claim what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through the resurrection.